Chapter 3, verse 1 of the book of Joshua. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. So the morning after the spies returned, Israel breaks camp. 2. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So we see here a chain of command, and it began with God, and then Joshua, and then his officers, and then the people. God does things in an orderly way, winging it. When you are able to prepare, is not faith. Some people say that's faith. It is not. It's sloppiness. It is presumption. 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And remember, that cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years, remember that thing? It's gone. God removed it after the death of Moses. Now the ark, the throne of God on earth, leads the way. Still God's leading. He's just using a different instrument. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. So the distance between them and the ark was kept out of respect for God, who was represented by that ark, and also so that the people could see which way they were to go. 5. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And he didn't tell the people exactly what God would do. He just said, consecrate yourself so you're ready. And that would mean wash your body, wash your clothes, and also wash your soul through repentance. When God moves, people who are not consecrated miss it. It goes right over their heads. 6. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. It is the next day, and it is time to go forward. This is the big day that they've been waiting for several centuries. Today is the day they enter the land and begin to take it. 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God knows his people must be convinced that Joshua is his man to lead Israel. And they will know by the amazing things the Lord is about to do. 8. And you shall command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Now, the Jordan River would be running at flood stage at this time of the year. And in order to get into the land, the Israelites have to somehow cross it. And so God tells the leaders to stand in the river. By the way, spiritual leaders don't just tell others how to live. They live it also. And they live it first. 9. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And so Joshua is about to get specific about the amazing thing God said that he would do. 10, and Joshua said, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." In other words, this is how you will know that the Lord God of Israel is alive and not dead like the so-called gods of the other nations. Living people do something. That's how you can tell that they're alive. And God is about to do something, which is a reminder that he is real, he is alive, and he's about to keep his promises to Israel. Verse 11. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan." God isn't everyone's Savior, but he is everyone's Lord. As verse 11 says, he is the Lord of all the earth, meaning if people submit, he blesses. If they rebel, he punishes. He is their Lord. And so he has the right. And Joshua says, "Our God, who is Lord, will enter the flooded Jordan River before us." Lesson: when facing a trial, don't forget that God is out in front of you leading. 12. "Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man." And God never does tell us what these 12 men were for. He says, do it. God doesn't have to explain every command that he gives. It's enough to obey simply because he is Lord of all the earth. 13, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." For Moses, the big sign that people never forgot, the big sign that he was Israel's leader came when God divided the Red Sea. For Joshua, the big sign that he is Israel's leader will come when God parts that Jordan River and they cross into the Holy Land. 14, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people." And notice that the people are allowing God to lead, which usually is the case when God's people are entering uncharted territory. Don't you find that to be true? It's only after a Christian has done something before and has had some success that the temptation to go forward without relying on God becomes a danger. 14, "And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people." Notice that the people are allowing God to lead, as I said. And verse 15, "And as they that bore the Ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bore the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflows all its banks all the time of harvest." And like I said, this was the time of the year when the river would flood. But it's April, and they're preparing to enter the land. It was barley harvest time. The priests carrying the ark step into the flooded Jordan, which the people must cross. But notice verse 16, "that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho." The current stopped upstream to the right of the priest's feet, and God started to build a wall of water. And the thing to see is that the miracle did not occur until the priests believed God enough to step into the water. Some people would say they had to take a chance, but it was a command from God with a promise that that would stop the river from flowing. It's a matter of faith. Verse 17, and the priests that bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So the river was separated and became dry ground after the priests stepped forward and got their feet wet. God didn't dry that river ahead of time. He dried it as they stepped in. God often makes a way for us as we go. As we go. Even though some of us, maybe most of us, like to see the way prepared before we even take the first step. But doing it this way keeps us close to God, keeps us praying. Chapter 4, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, so when everyone was across, the word of God came to Joshua once again. This is what he said. Verse 2, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And one representative of each tribe is commanded to do something. And this was to show that the nation was united in their dedication to God. Symbolism is something we see a lot of in Scripture. Symbolism is important to God. Ceremonies are important to God. Like verse 3, look at it. God says, and command you them, saying, take you here out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And so these 12 men who had already crossed the river have to go back halfway, pick up 12 stones, and set them as a monument to mark the place where Israel spent their first night in the Holy Land. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. So Joshua does his job as leader. He heard from God, and now he delegates the assignment to the 12 as God directed. And this was all part of God's plan. And it was important for everyone involved to do his part, too. All parts of God's plan in any age are big parts. And it's important for each of God's people to do their part. It all works together. Verse 5. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So they were commanded to carry these stones, notice, on their shoulders. And that tells us two things. It tells us that it's important to do things God's way. Not just to do his will, but to do his will his way on their shoulders. You say, well, what's the big deal? I don't know. God didn't say what the big deal was. But the big deal, if nothing else, is to do things God's way. They better be carrying those rocks on their shoulders and not holding them down by their waist. So, tells us that we ought to do things God's way, and it also tells us that these stones were probably pretty heavy, that they needed the support of their shoulder to get them across. But they're going to do it. They're going to obey God. Obeying God has been working pretty well so far. And so they will continue to do it for the time being anyway.